Welcome to Pain to Power, your go-to destination for real-life stories, genuine conversations, and a splash of reality, along with some real estate insights all in one place. I am your host, Kayla Cardona, and I invite you to join me on this transformative journey. Together, we'll delve into raw, unfiltered talks and experiences of overcoming adversity, finding the path to resilience, and rising above the pain. This is the podcast that empowers you to break through the barriers, elevate your life in every aspect, and unlock your true potential, regardless of your circumstances. And of course, we'll sprinkle in some good laughs and entertainment along the way. Welcome to Pain to Power. Let's go. Welcome back to Pain to Power. I know I skipped a week and I did not post an episode last week, but if you have been following me on socials, I was traveling and I told myself that I was not going to do anything, that I was going to enjoy my travels and not have to worry about anything at all, because I haven't done that in I don't even know how long. And it felt so nice and it was so needed. But welcome back, and I'm excited to get into this one. As a feminine leadership coach, Annabelle Ingleton focuses on helping women get strong by getting soft. She understands the value and necessity of leadership, especially by and from women. She uses her business and psychology education certificates in subconscious healing modalities and her intensive studies in neuroscience applied for coaching to help women master their God-given feminine design so that they can confidently lead themselves and others into success. And today she shares her personal story. This episode is for all my hyper-independent, self-sufficient women, single mamas, business owners, CEOs, bosses. I hate to say it, but most likely you are absolutely in your masculine energy, which is what affects our lives and relationships, or lack thereof. I personally just started learning about what masculine and feminine energy is last year, and it has completely changed my perspective on relationships and why it has been such a struggle for me and most likely you to find the man of your dreams, a healthy masculine man, a provider, a protector. I don't want to ruin this episode by giving you too many details, but you need to listen to it now. In this episode, Annabelle explains the difference between masculine and feminine energy, the difference between a scared masculine girl and a confident feminine woman. She explains the masculine behavior patterns in women, like the ones that I listed, and how they negatively affect you and me and us, and how you can just get out of it and into your feminine all while still getting things done. Yes, that is possible, ladies. Most likely, this will be probably a part one, because we cover so much and I feel like I was trying so hard to squeeze in as much as I could with her within the hour. But there's just so much more to talk about, and considering 90% of my listeners are women, this definitely calls for more episodes on this incredibly important topic. Now, without further ado, let's get into the episode. Annabelle Ingleton, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you, Kayla.
Oh my gosh. So really, really quick. I found Annabelle like scrolling through my Instagram, going through like the femininity, energy and all the things. And I ran across Annabelle and there was just something about her energy that I felt through her videos. And I was like, immediately I knew, I'm like, this is going to be my person. So now we're here and now we're like pretty much friends. We haven't met in person yet, but I'm sure that's coming very soon. But I'm so excited. Thank you again.
But let's just get right into it. So, I know you have a story. You told me about your story, and I'm so excited for the listeners to hear it. But I think it's really important to start with your story and where you came from and everything that you've gone through, because we are going to cover the masculine, feminine energy, and you and I and most of my listeners really are all powerhouses, CEO women, hyper independent, single moms, run businesses, CEOs. So this is going to be really important for everyone to hear. So I want you to go ahead and share your story, because I want people to understand, okay, what is this masculine feminine energy? What does that mean? And with your story of survival mode and all of that, like women understanding, what does that mean? Just speak to those that don't even know. So yeah, I'm going to let you go ahead and share. Sure.
Thanks for that. I think one of the things that I want to start off by saying is that that we all have masculine and feminine energy. Yeah. And so, but most of us powerhouse CEO women, entrepreneurs, successful women, we have a lot of it. And I managed to, throughout my life, and more specifically throughout the past year, get rid of that masculine energy, that, and it's just transformed my life so much. So yeah, I'll start at the beginning though. So I'm a Latina, I'm Mexican American, I'm a 43 year old woman, single mom living in Southern California. You and I live really close to each other. And I grew up with immigrant parents here in Southern California. I'm eight siblings or seven siblings, there's eight of us total. And we all grew up here. My parents were both immigrants. And unfortunately, I came from a broken home. My dad was, I hate to say, the typical Mexican immigrant man who drank a lot. Like, it's sad that this is the norm for us, right? Like I know when I was talking to you shortly about my story, you're like, your life was my life. And all my clients tell me the same thing, at least if we're Latinas. And so it's really sad that, you know, I grew up like the typical Latina here in America who came from a broken home, because my father would drink alcohol, beat my mom. We would call the cops on him. He'd go to jail. We would leave and go to battered women's shelters. And my mom, with seven kids in tow, would take us all over California to leave him. And he would always find us and say he's going to do better. And then he wouldn't. And ultimately, finally, we all begged my mom, like, mom, just leave. Yeah. Like, this isn't fun anymore. And so she did. I can't even imagine how hard that was, right? For all of us, for her to be a single mom with seven kids and never having worked. So, because of it, and she had so much PTSD from my dad's, verbal and physical abuse, she was on welfare. And we grew up with, you know, basically the government being her dad, you know, taking care of us, welfare, food stamps, living in the hood, because we obviously couldn't afford that much. And that life of growing in poverty with one parent who was there, but not there because of her, you know, mental and emotional inefficiency, obviously not to her, she didn't do it on purpose. Because of it, me and all my siblings, we all had to really fend for ourselves. Like, just the other day, my sister, we were on a group chat, me and all my eight siblings. And my younger sister said, hey guys, mom always had a car growing. We always had a car growing up, but do you guys remember like mom ever taking us to school? And she's like, we always walked to school. And I was like, yeah, of course she didn't take us to school. Mom was like in bed. Like, she didn't have the capacity to, you know, she just, not that it wasn't important, but she was like, you guys can all go together. And then in the 80s, I guess we were all like, you know, we kind of like the world felt a little bit safer, but to the point where she couldn't work because she just mentally and emotionally couldn't. She was too much, she had anxiety and depression. So forced us all to work. I became a mother at a really young age, at 20 years old, to my high school sweetheart that I met when I was 16, was with him for 7 years, left him because now in hindsight, I realize it was too boring. He was too normal and calm. Ugh, just thinking about that, right? And then I felt like I was called to something more. And obviously God works perfectly, but I became a single mom for 10 years. But that single mom 10 years was like the hustle, right? It was like, I could never live on my own. I could never afford it. I always had to, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul and just make the basic minimum. But I always wanted more. But more than anything, what I always wanted was to understand why I felt the way I felt and why I always was scared of like the world and why I looked put together, but I really wasn't. Like inside, I was deeply insecure, always needed to be in a relationship with a guy, always wanted to like flaunt my beauty and my body and wanted to look successful. But inside, I knew I was deeply, deeply insecure. Like if I was by myself, I was like scared. Like I'd have to call a friend over or just, I couldn't be alone. And so after many years of doing that, it like buried myself in self-development books and just even the Bible and reading as many things as I could about the human brain. Really what I realized now, what I was studying, what I wanted to know was like, how do you feel good? How do you feel happy? Like what's the formula to just peace? Because I never felt at peace. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I was always just trying to understand, why do I feel like never at peace? Nothing ever feels good. Like I always get something and it's just never enough. And so it took me through, you know, reading like 3 books a month and always just like I'm trying to understand myself. And then finally, in my early 30s, I met my now ex-husband and we had a whirlwind romance when I was 32. We got married in 6 months. It was very beautiful. It felt very organic. Had 2 daughters. And for me, the prize was getting married. Like for some reason, I had this idea that once I get the man, once I get married, I'm going to be fine. Because my mom, she got married, but she just didn't have the right guy. And for some reason, I had this feeling that like, it was just that it was the wrong guy. If she would have married the right guy, like she would have been fine. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest too, I think back then, I mean, this was like the 90s or early 2000s, we're fed by society in Hollywood that like, you're not good if you're single. If you're a woman, like you're better when you get married or when someone chooses you, right? It's really jacked up.
Like, yeah, we need to unpack that in a little bit because I have a question with that too. But let's go there. But go on.
But you can ask me now. But totally up to you.
Why is that?
Why do we feel that? Why do we feel like we have to get married or why do we want a man?
Yes, because of society. But it goes deeper than that, right?
Really? Yes.
Because I recently just listened to your episode about the scared masculine woman. Right. And then the confident feminine, we got to unpack that too. Yeah. So that's where I remember hearing that. So I was like, ooh, let's go there. But yeah. I don't know if you want to go there now, but like,
here's what I'll say. The marriage fell apart. I thought that my marriage, that was like it. Like once I got married, it was like, life was going to be perfect. And I got married and I was like, nothing's changed. Why do I still feel like crap? Why we have a lot of money and I still don't feel like enough. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
How do I turn that off? So sorry. Why do we have money and I don't feel good? Why do I have my babies? We have all the nice things. Our business is great. It still doesn't feel good. And my poor husband, in hindsight, I look back, he must've been like, I took him through a roller coaster. It was like, I want to work. I don't want to work. I want to stay home. I want to start my business. I want to go work with you. I want to build a team. And it was just like, it was this constant up and down. And I can't even imagine for a man that loves a woman, he wants to make her happy. And nothing ever made me happy. Mm-hmm. And our marriage ended up falling apart. I know now in hindsight a lot because of that, never being happy, never feeling like enough. But what ended up happening is he was a normal drinker. Everybody drinks alcohol, you know, to different degrees. He was like a basic alcohol drinker, but something happened when the minute like the ring went on my finger, like the next day, if I saw my husband drinking alcohol, it was like, I was a 5-year-old little girl again. I was like, he's going to drink. He's going to get drunk. He's going to beat me and I'm going to die. He can't drink. And I was in a low-key survival response my entire marriage because I was always like thinking I was going to die if he drank alcohol. He wasn't an abusive person. He didn't drink to a crazy extent. He was such a great man, a Christian man, great family. Like just, I hit the jackpot with him. And, but I was still like scared all the time. And to the point where that ended up really breaking down our marriage. Cause I couldn't trust him. I was scared and I would berate him and be really mean to him and try to make him change when he didn't need to change. I needed to heal my stuff. It was trauma that was getting triggered from my dad in my childhood. So the marriage ended. And before though, we decided to end the marriage, I started learning about trauma, and I started, and this was like in 2018. Now trauma is spoken about very, very like normally, like, right. Like everybody, I think everybody I talk to will say the word trauma, at least in a conversation. Mm-hmm. So normal. But back then it wasn't spoken about normally. And when I started understanding that, my responses to him were all my own subconscious fears that would come out in like these protective responses. And I would always fight. I was like, this is, I need to heal. And sadly, the way that I thought I needed to heal was outside of the marriage. I could have done it in the marriage, but I was too scared. So I left. So we decided to break up. Mm-hmm. And I got to work. I mean, therapy, EMDR, church, all the things. And we were going to church and when we were together, but I dug in deeper. And so I ended up becoming a facilitator in a subconscious healing modality called Psyche, which is like this really amazing, it's like EMDR, where you use both your accesses, both your right and your left brain hemisphere to help you process past events, to calm your amygdala and your memory, where it can clean up like your subconscious behavior patterns. And it changed my life. Because I got it done on me, and then I learned to do it. And then I started using it in my coaching. I launched my coaching business right after we broke up. And so I was in total survival mode for a couple of years after our breakup. So this was like 2019 up until, you know, what are we in 2023 now? So I was working focused on just taking care of me and my three daughters and building a business and making money and healing. And so that was just my only focus. Things took a hit though, Kayla, when last year I was making several hundred thousand dollars a year and I had nothing to show for it. Like nothing. Like I had bags and shoes and cute outfits, but I had no savings. I had crazy debt. I had income was coming in, but it was going out as fast as it came in. And I didn't understand why am I even doing this? If I'm now coaching and doing the thing that I really love, and I'm helping people heal. God worked through me and helped and healed me, and I'm making a lot of money, but what's going on here? There's something going on here. Why can't I keep the money? And it was really affecting me because I was in that feast and famine cycle that I think maybe, you know, in real estate, I used to work in real estate, the feast and famine of money, deal, no deal, no deal. I was like, this is how I still feel, but it's my own business and it's not real estate. Why is this happening? And I was working so hard. And so I finally hired a CPA firm. They cleaned up all of my business and all my things and taught me how to allocate my taxes and money and all that. And I was like, okay, now I have strategy. But there's something going on behavior wise. Like when the money's coming in, I'm spending, what am I spending it on? And I started taking a really deep dive in looking, what am I spending my money on? And I got paid with the biggest and most embarrassing reality check. I started noticing that when I spent my money, what I spent my money on and how I spent it was all related to trying to look beautiful, successful, impress others. Because I thought that if I had these things and I would get a husband and then I would get love and then I would feel good again. And I was so embarrassed, but I was actually also really, really happy that I understood this, what I call adaptive behavior for a lot of people. Whenever we don't feel good, what's the thing that we do? What's the thing that your brain tells you to do in order to feel better? It's like, what's the dopamine hit? What's going to make us feel better? And for a lot of us, for women, a lot of us, it's shopping. But the shopping is like, that's the symptom. But why are you shopping? What's the story you're telling yourself that the shopping is going to do for you? And for me, it was, if I get these things and I'm going to look pretty and then I'm going to look successful and then a guy is going to want to marry me and then I'll be happy. And so I dug in deeper with therapy and cleaned up some more stuff. But what I also noticed, the correlation that I noticed was, I was last year, my walk with God got so much deeper. The more I healed from my past traumas, the, what I call your amygdala calms down, because your amygdala, your stress response, it literally like grows like the incredible giant. When you've experienced a lot of trauma, women or men who've experienced a lot of trauma, you have a really heightened stress response. Healing will calm it down and shrink it. But what, one of the things that I learned and studied, I found out that having a benevolent power or having a relationship with a higher being loved by something that's bigger than you is something that really calms your amygdala, prayer, meditation. So I was like, let me try this out. Let me go back to church and see how this goes. Kayla, God completely transformed my life. The closer I got to God, the more I started, God was just revealing all these things to me. Like the money thing, that was all Jesus. And I started correlating and understanding the correlation between being loved foundationally, calming that stress response, feeling more like calm and peaceful and worthy and feeling loved. When I did that, I wasn't feeling like, it was almost like I got my full supply of love. My tank was full and I didn't need to go get it from men anymore. I didn't need to go shopping anymore. I didn't need anything else anymore. I almost felt like I wanted to quit my career and I didn't need to work. I was like, I just want to be a mom and love my babies and follow God. And I was like, what's going on? This is so weird. But it's almost like being loved by God, by my Heavenly Father, made me calm down, made me not need anything else. All I needed was God. And it completely transformed my life. And I started implementing this in my coaching because I knew how different it was, how healing it was. And I started going into learning about the feminine and masculine and understanding that all these survival responses that women have, what they are is masculine energy of doing, of like, if I do this, I'm going to get that. If I have sex, he's going to commit to me. If I look beautiful, he's going to choose me. And it was all very action oriented, masculine energy. I started reading the Bible, understanding the differences in how God designed us and made us differently because we have different functions and different purposes. And I just got so clear on the difference between the feminine and masculine energy. And I got rid of all of my masculine protective behaviors. It completely transformed my life. And now I help women do the same.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. So there's so much to unpack here. I love this. Okay.
I hope it all made sense.
It made sense for me, but for the listeners that are like, what is this masculine feminine energy? What are you talking about? So in your words, because you're very good at explaining it, go ahead and explain, okay, what is masculine energy? What is feminine energy? And then of course there's the wounded masculine, the wounded feminine, and based on your story and my story, very similar, being a single mom and growing up in survival mode and not being in the healthiest environments growing, which is very extremely common, especially in the Latin community. Yeah. I think to break that down, okay, being in survival mode, fight or flight, trying to protect yourself. If you felt like you had to protect a parent, protect a sibling, you had to kind of be the provider. And you always felt like you were responsible for your parents' feelings. So that's all being in survival mode. That's being in your masculine energy. So can you go ahead and break down what is the difference between the two?
Yeah. Yeah. And everything you said, yep, 100%. That's correct. Yep. So everybody has masculine and feminine energies. Men have more masculine and women have more feminine, but we all have both. So the way I describe it is that the masculine is about action. It's about results. It's about doing. It's about solving. It's about leading. It's about figuring out, analyzing, thinking. So it's all about action. If you think about like a primitive man, he has to go and kill the tiger, right? So it's always about surviving in the land so that he can provide for his women or for his children, his family or his tribe. So the man is innately always about action because a man is a protector and a provider and a procreator, just naturally. That's what they do. Whereas the feminine, she is about being, she's about expressing, she's about feeling, she's about connecting. She's just about flowing. I know that sounds weird, but it's just something it's more about her just being in her body and just being there to nurture and care for her children, her husband, or the tribe, and serving. It's a very, very different. She's more about receiving and following, and he's about giving and leading. So we have both, right? Women have both masculine and feminine, but we want to have the healthy masculine and the healthy feminine. So what the healthy feminine, in my opinion, this is, mind you, I've studied this so much. These are my concepts, the way I see it, the way I explain it to my clients. And people have different ways of explaining it, to each their own, whatever works for them. Yeah. But in my opinion, what a woman has healthy masculine and healthy feminine, the way I see it is the healthy feminine is about receiving and the healthy masculine is about serving. So she's still doing, but she's a leader. She's not like trying to prove herself and provide and protect and procreate. She's more of service. So she feels like she's serving herself and it feels very natural. She's not faking it. She's just being who she is with her natural skills and talents. And whereas a man has to learn skills, he has to learn how to do certain things and think and maybe get degrees and things like that. And women do too. Nowadays, we still do that. But the healthy feminine is way more about being, if she's in her masculine, when she's at work, she's about service. She's like, I want to serve my client or my company or wherever I work and with my natural talents and skills. And then, she still receives there, receives income, but she receives more love and fulfillment because she's serving. Yeah. And then the receiving part, the feminine part of the woman, I believe a woman is a receiver, an influencer, and a procreator. By receiving, I mean she receives love from God. She receives protection and provision from her partner. And because she receives love and protection and provision from her partner, she is then an influencer. So by influencing, I mean she's so foundationally safe and loved. She feels so secure. She's so happy that she, everywhere she goes, she influences the world in a very happy, beautiful place because she feels very, I call it the confident feminine woman because she's confident in God's love for her and what God says she is and who God says she is. So that's, it's not this elitist confidence. It's this very just natural, I'm loved and I deserve greatness because I'm the daughter of a king. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, she's a procreator, but the procreation comes never at the expense of anything else. She's like, I know I'm meant to marry, be an essential helper for my partner, have children. Some women don't have children. Maybe you have children in other ways, doggies or nieces and nephews. And so that's the healthy masculine and the healthy feminine. And then the healthy masculine and feminine for a woman. That makes sense?
That makes perfect sense. Okay. So how does a woman know she's in her masculine?
When she doesn't freaking stop going. Okay. So in the unhealthy masculine?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Cause again, you know, most of my listeners, they're, you know, single moms, business owners, CEOs, and very hyper independent. But they all seem to struggle in the dating world. And yeah. I know what that is like. I call myself a healing. I'm healing out of my masculine and into my feminine. So I'm still learning. It's something I started learning last year. I was like, wait a minute, what is this? What does this mean? Why is this describe me so perfectly? What is this? So I started
like the video that I made spoke to you, right? When the scared masculine girl.
Yes. That's why was, you know, exactly. So, and then of course I'm going to link your podcast so my listeners can listen to yours. Cause that's super important. But for the women listening, how do they know they are in their masculine energy? Obviously it would be the wounded. And then how can they get out of it?
Okay. Great question.
Yeah. So I know that's loaded, but go for it.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's so specific and I love it. So a woman knows she's in her masculine when she is trying to get results, when she's in action taking, when what she's doing, she is specifically hoping for an outcome. That's when you know you're in your masculine. Here's the thing. We all have jobs. I bet most of your listeners have jobs. Mm-hmm. So when we're at work, we are definitely in our masculine right now. Like I'm working, you're working, right? We're sharing ideas. I'm totally in a lot of my masculine because I'm sharing ideas and concepts and I want to get something across to your clients. To your listeners. So I'm definitely in it. But when you're in your masculine, healthy masculine, I have like this percentage that I give to my clients. I work with my clients in 5 areas of their life that I believe is the source for love for women. Because here's my overall concept. Women's God made us as we're emotional feelers and men are logical thinkers. We're both very different, but we complement each other very, very well. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we're emotional feelers, your emotions are actually your superpower. You have emotional intelligence. That woman's intuition, that's not like just a saying. It is legit. You know, we've all known later when we pick the wrong guy, you're like, I knew I shouldn't have done it, right? So our emotions are what one of my mentors calls rapid packets of information. They're there to give us intel so we can look at it and then make decisions. So when because we're designed to be emotional feelers, our number one source, like our number one need, is love. The way a car is designed to like drive people around, a car needs to function, it needs gas. A woman needs love. A man needs respect. So we need love. So we need to always have our sources of love. And what's sad is a lot of women don't have a lot of sources of love. So when one man comes up, that's why we get crazy, because we're like, finally somebody that loves us. And then we act a little cuckoo. Mm. But I say that to say that I help my clients with five areas of their life, which is their relationship with God, their relationship with themselves, their relationship with their work, their career, with their husband or partner, and their children as a mom. So these five areas, I have designated different percentages of healthy masculine and healthy feminine to bring to each. Because when you know how much you need to bring, how much giving, how much service, and how much receiving you need to do, that alone can unlock a lot. Okay. So when it comes to your career, you should be 90%. I believe it's 90. I'm sorry. 80% masculine, 20% feminine, meaning you're there to get things done. If you're a real estate agent, right? So you sell homes, you know, you're there to like show property and list and do negotiations and go to listing appointments and all these things. You're there getting things done, but your energy isn't like this like rigid, like, oh my, like we're going to run everybody over as a result. You're there in service. You just know that this is what you're good at. You're going to show up. And because you love it, you bring a really calm, beautiful energy. And so you're bringing 80% of your masculine and 20% of receiving. How are you receiving with your feminine at work? Because you're receiving income, you're receiving fulfillment from people, you're receiving praise from people. Yeah, you're receiving clients or whatever, a job. And so that the feminine woman is very much, she makes a lot of money because she believes she receives a lot, but she serves at a really high level. So you know you're in your masculine when you are doing in order to get. That is the ultimate man. So if you even think about it in a relationship, this is a problem for many of my clients. They want to have sex with a guy too soon so that they can get commitment. They literally, this is subconscious. Mm-hmm. I don't think everybody goes around thinking, I'm going to sleep with a guy so he chooses me. But this is something that masculine women unfortunately do, because we think it's a means to an end. If I do this, I'm going to get that. Again, very action oriented, results oriented action. Ooh. So when you're doing things in order to get something, that's how you know you're in your masculine. But you have to be aware of that.
Oh, wow. Okay. I've never heard that perspective before. No, that completely makes sense.
Yeah. So let me see, you asked me another question. You said, how do we know we're in our masculine when we're doing in order to get? So it's very results oriented. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
And it can be low key manipulative, sadly. Like I'm going to be nice to her. I'm going to say yes to her so that she doesn't get mad. That's masculine energy. That's a doing to get. The confident feminine woman doesn't do that. She says, I'm going to say no because I'm tired and I want to stay home and watch my favorite show. I'll see her next week. She's not going to say that in order to make someone's happy, She'll choose herself.
Okay. Can we go a little bit into more detail of what that is and what that means? Cause that, I feel like that's really important.
Yes. I can explain it more if I explain the scared masculine girl and the confident feminine woman. Yeah. This is the unhealthy masculine, you know, the scared masculine girl and the confident feminine woman. I created these archetypes to describe to women so that they can understand when they are in their masculine, when they're in their true feminine. So the confident feminine woman, a woman who is feminine, who is mostly in her feminine energy or allocates her percentages correctly. And if you remind me again, Kayla, I'll tell you the percentages, or I'll just tell you real quick, just so I can get them out the way. When you're with God, 100%, you are 100% in receiving. You're just in feminine. He's your dad. Think of a little girl. And in your spirituality, you're like, daddy, I need to eat. I need a drink. I need a bed, change my diaper, whatever, right? Like you're just a daughter. So 100% you're in receiving. When you are with yourself, you are 50-50. You are leading yourself, and you're also being there for yourself. We have that inner child that we always need to coax and love and attune to. Mm. So when you're with yourself, it's masculine and feminine. Your body's, it's almost like the fight, what I call it is like the fight between your body, your flesh, and your spirit. Your spirit wants more. It wants to grow. It wants to make $1 million. It wants to start that business and the podcast and the hustle. And your body's like where your trauma is. Your body is where your comfort is. And so your spirit's leading yourself, and you're always like 50-50. I see you don't want to go, but let's get up. We got to go do this thing. And so you're 50-50 with your relationship with yourself. Mm-hmm. Your career, again, 80-20, way more masculine, only a little bit of feminine. Your relationship with a partner, 90-10. Your man is protecting, providing, leading. Let him give to you. You are there. You're going to be there to like watch yourself and like judge him and you know, choose a partner. But your relationship with your man, that's where you get to relax and really chill, do nothing.
So that's why it's very important to get yourself a healthy masculine man.
That part.
So that you are able to be to in your feminine.
Yeah. When you're with if a wonderful Christian man came to you with a vision and his authority is God, and he's like, Kayla, let me take you to dinner. You'd be like, where do you want to go? You know what I mean? Like you would just go, you would follow. When someone doesn't want to follow, it's either their hyper-independence fear that doesn't want to let them follow a man, or it's your intuition saying, this isn't a masculine man. He's trouble. Listen to it. Don't go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of the two.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah. So with men, 90-10. Okay. And then as a mother, I believe as a mom, we are partners and preparers. We're partners with Christ to love our children and serve them. And then we're also preparers, and we help them become women or men. So we want to raise them well, right? So we're of service to them, but we're also very much in loving and being nurturing. So I believe for me, it's 60% masculine service, beautiful leadership, and then 40% feminine, because we need that nurturing, attuning love. The way I describe it to my clients is, picture us women when we're with our kids or with our partner. We're like a big cozy bed. We want our kids to come in our bed and just like us be the space. Mm-hmm. You can't be that way when you're running around trying to take action. You need to be that soft, cozy bed that they come into. So it's 60% leadership and service with your children, with God, and 40% feminine.
Yeah. Oh, love that. Okay. Cool. So we just went a little bit into how do you know you're into your masculine? So it's more of doing. And then you just broke down those percentages, which is so helpful. Totally helps me. So how does someone that is so in their masculine, literally grew up in their masculine in survival mode and is in their masculine now, get out of, well, I guess the first step would be healing, right? So you do the healing first to get out of your masculine and into your feminine, but also get shit done, right?
Yeah. So, we can't just sit around and be in a field of daisies and like bake cookies all day.
I would
right?
love to do that. Can you say that? Yeah,
me too. Yeah. I actually have a really cool acronym that I tell my clients. It's and the acronym is, you have to get soft. It's SOFT.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. And that's, think about the feminine. It's that soft, cushy bed, right? Mm-hmm. So it stands for stabilize, optimize, focus, and transform. So listen, I'm a businesswoman. I'm a coach. I'm a leader. So when the way that I tell my clients to approach their femininity or their healing, their process of going from masculine to feminine, this is where you're bringing your masculine energy. You're like learning about yourself. You're being compassionate with yourself. So you want to bring that masculine energy to your healing, because you have to lead yourself and you have to learn and you have to understand. So this is the place where you want to bring it, right? To your self-work. Definitely bringing it, but you're also bringing a lot of love and compassion, because you're not going to beat yourself up. You're going to be patient with yourself. So the acronym for going from masculine to feminine, stabilize, optimize, focus, and transform. The first one is stabilize. So we got to get rid of the old masculine patterns and the unhealthy masculine patterns. You literally, I know this is going to be hard. Stop freaking doing it. You stop controlling, You stop overworking. You stop being protective. You stop trying to change people. You stop micromanaging. You stop being a perfectionist. You learn to trust people. You look at people and allow them to be whatever they want. This is really hard for a lot of us women, but those are some of the main traits of a masculine woman, because she's low-key scared. She's low-key. I guess this is a really good place to describe the scared masculine girl and the confident feminine woman. And then I can explain how to get soft. So okay. The scared masculine girl and the confident feminine woman, the feminine woman is, because she's so founded in God, she's a true single woman. A person who's a single person is unique, separate, and whole. So that means that she's unique. She knows that she's different from other people. She doesn't try to blend in and look like everybody else. She has her own way of speaking and looking and dressing and talking and her own career and all her own tastes. And she really harnesses it. She's like, this is me. I'm just going to be me. So she's really unique, and she loves her weaknesses and her strengths. The second one is that she's separate, meaning she's independent on her own. She doesn't need anybody like on earth, but she's dependent on God. But because she's dependent on God, she's independent with herself, and she has interdependent relationships, meaning it's give and take. It's this beautiful flow. It's we work together. You come, you go, I give, I receive. It's beautiful. Yeah. So that separateness means she's not codependent and she's not hyper independent. So I'll explain that about the masculine girl. And then lastly, she's whole. Wholeness means everything lines up. Her goals match her behavior. Her behavior matches how she feels. She thinks something, she says it. If she feels sad, she expresses her emotion. She understands that her past is in the past. She doesn't bring her past to the present. She doesn't judge a man now based on the way a guy treated her then. Everything is just very aligned. She separates her past, present, and future, and her brain and her body are all, and her actions and her thoughts and emotions are all very aligned. Everything works together as a whole, and she's not fragmented. Let's explain the scared masculine girl. She's the complete opposite. If she's single, unique, and whole, the scared masculine girl is what I would call like attached. She's not single. She's like in a bunch of different pieces. She is she compares and competes with other people. So she's not in her unique self, and she's not whole. She's like, her actions, nothing matches. She says she's going to do something, she never does it. She's just like a little bit of a hot mess. And she has the tendencies of a masculine man, which is protection, providing, and procreation. The three of those are really, really important to see, because the feminine woman is about receiving, influencing, and procreating, but in a healthy way. She's about, I'm going to provide, I'm going to do in order to get. If I work a lot, I'm going to get things. If I'm beautiful, if I please people, it's about providing, but she leads with her successes and her money and her beauty. She uses her brain and body and her beauty to get what she wants. So it's very manipulative, but her providing. The protection part of her is, I got to protect myself. People, the world isn't safe. Men aren't safe. Women aren't safe. I don't trust anybody. Everything is this very fearful, defensive thing. And because of it, she doesn't take risks. She doesn't do the things that she really wants to do. She doesn't express herself well. Or if she does, she like goes too far off. And then the last one is, because she's fragmented, nothing is aligned. Her behaviors don't match. She doesn't express herself well. And so because of that, she settles for like anybody, because she doesn't know how to regulate her emotions well, because she's always so scared. Remember, her amygdala like increased in size because of her past. So she doesn't know how to calm herself. So she always just soothes herself by numbing, shopping. That was me. Drinking, sex, men, relationships, being with people, affirmation, attention, followers, subscribers, whatever. That's how she numbs herself. Or just procrastinating, being on Netflix, being on social media. So this protectiveness doesn't ever let her get close to people. She doesn't have real authentic relationships. She's, because she's fake. to a certain extent, not consciously. I'm not, and ladies, I'm not calling you guys fake. I love you guys all. None of us, we all have like makeup. Look at me. Like I have freaking, we have all the things, right? But yep. Fake by that, I mean, she's not really authentically showing herself because she's scared that if she does, people are going to leave her. People are going to judge her. They're going to reject her and she'll be alone. She's terrified of being alone. She thinks like a little girl still. So it's a really unhealthy place to be. And so in order to stop doing all that, we got to get soft, right? We don't want to be defensive. Oh, the other thing is how I explain that the confident feminine woman is independent, dependent on God, but interdependent with people. She's really either hyper independent. I don't need anybody. I'm going to do everything myself. I'm not going to rely on anybody. She takes on the responsibility burden and does everything. Doesn't ask for help because she doesn't want to be viewed as weak. Or she's really codependent. And this isn't either or. Most of us have both of them. When she gets a guy or like she just gets really codependent on him and she doesn't want to let him go, she drops everything to the detriment of a relationship and focuses really, really heavy on men. And she'll lose track of her friends, her kids, her friends, like her work, because she's so focused on procreation. She thinks that being with a man is the most important thing when it's not. It's being with your father first and foremost. That's the most important thing. So getting soft is first seeing if you have all those traits. I have this really great ebook called the 10 hidden masculine traits that keep you overworked and underloved. And then I also give the 20 most common masculine traits. I'll give you the link to that so if your audience can get it for free. And it really breaks down all these behaviors. So it's first the stabilizing, it's seeing if you're doing these and stopping them, because it's about understanding that the only reason you're doing them, Kayla, or not just you, but just women in general, it's out of fear, because we're scared to like get close and be ourselves. Yeah. And we don't need to be fearful. And the only reason we're fearful is because we don't love ourselves, or we're scared and we think that the world isn't safe. But when you get connected with God deeper, you feel more safe. But it's this fear of like, if I don't stay in control, things aren't going to get done. And this is why we overwork. And we feel really underloved, because we end up choosing people that don't really love us or know us like deeply. And so we always have these relationships that almost feel surface, and we don't really trust them because we know deep down, they don't even know who I am. And if they knew who I am, maybe they won't even like me. So abstaining, you gotta fast, right? That's one of the things that the Bible says, stop doing these old behaviors. So it's the hardest part for sure. Yeah. But then the second part, is optimizing. And then the way you stop doing these, Kayla, there's so many ways. Therapy helps a lot. If you do therapy helps you process a lot of old experiences. What it does is it calms your amygdala a lot. And then it takes away a lot of these protective behaviors, and it helps a lot. Going to church and I know for me, and for you too, that's a really big part of our evolution, of our healing. Because when you have that foundational love, when you know that you're loved by your Heavenly Father, it creates so much peace that it literally, there's studies that show that it calms your amygdala and you're able to have a lot more peace. So that's the first part, is stop doing them and then find sources of oxytocin, of bonding, real connection and love, so that you feel more at peace. The next one is optimize. That means basically to learn what the healthy masculine and the healthy feminine are, and start doing the healthy masculine and the healthy feminine. I think I gave a lot of examples of even just like the five areas of your life, right? How much energy to bring to both. That's the second step, is to get really clear on them and not let your old behaviors jump in. Get really clear on them, learn, and then start doing it. The focus means you have to, most for what I notice is a lot of scared masculine women or girls, I should say. We have visions for ourselves. Like we have an idea of what we want our life to look like, but we don't focus on it. We end up focusing on people and what other people want for us, or maybe our parents or what society wants. And one of the things that I make my clients do is create the vision for the five areas of your life, how you want them, like what kind of marriage you want, what kind of parent you want to be, exactly the career you want, how much money you want to make. 10x it, make it huge, make it big, and get focus on that. And based on that, when you have your vision and you know what you're going after, because you know that you're the daughter of a king and God says you can have anything you want, you make what I call vision-based decisions. If it what you're doing today, is it creating or supporting the life that you want? Right. For example, is getting drunk on a Wednesday night going to serve you when you have like a listing appointment tomorrow. Because yeah, you may be like not feeling good because you're lonely. Maybe you just had a bad breakup, but is this going to serve the creation, the woman that I want to be? No, it doesn't. So we're not going to do that. Right. So it's having your focus on the woman that you want to become and letting that push you forward and focusing only on that. And then obviously also focusing on God, because he helps give us so much of our strength. And then focus, when I say focus, it's also the focusing on the five areas of your life and bringing that right amount of percentage of masculine and feminine energy to each of those areas. Because when you do, just doing that alone, Kayla, I want you to try that and then tell me how it works for you. I guarantee it'll change so much, so much. And then the last one, transform, stands for when a feminine woman is truly herself and she's just being herself, being feminine, being authentically her, allowing others to be themselves, listening, not controlling, right? Not overworking. What she does is she creates transformational relationships, not transactional ones. So when she transforms into a feminine woman, what ends up happening is she transforms everybody that she comes into contact with. She literally, remember, she's an influencer. She brings that beautiful energy and she thinks, who, not how. Who do I need to become? What's in it for them? Why would they want me in their life? Who am I? How can I serve others? And again, not in a manipulative way, but in a way that says, what kind of, how do I want people to leave after coming in contact with me? The feminine woman says, I make everybody better after they come in contact with me. So she creates transformational relationships and not transactional ones. That was a transactional that the scared masculine girl did. So that's the process that I take my clients through. And then obviously in my coaching program, Feminine Freedom, we go way into deeper into the steps and how all that looks. So we just got to get soft.
Yep. and I love how you just break it down like that. And this is so affirming for me as well, because I see more based on what you just said, how much I am on the right path. Great. So I just,
what are you doing? Some of the things that I explained, what are you doing that resonates?
Yeah. Well, the being part and then the transformational relationships, that's really where I'm at, is it's more of like, how can I make that person better? Whoever I connect with. And it's, and just being so much more also softer on myself, like, you know, and listening to my body when I'm tired and taking breaks when needed, and just being okay with, you know, if I don't get this done, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'm not going to beat myself up over it. And learning to compartmentalize, you know, when I'm home with my son, turning off the majority of my masculinity, because I'm doing all day. Every day.
I bet.
Yeah. Especially with us, you know, wearing multiple hats, being moms, running our business, coaching real estate for me, which is very extremely masculine. I'm constantly around. It's very deep in, it's mostly men, right? So you kind of have to be one of the guys. So, you know,
and you're figure on social media. Like, I mean, I hate to say that because it sounds kind of weird and corny, but like you're a public figure. And when you're seen, it feels like you have to perform and do things for others. And it's like, no, I'm not, that's who you think I am is whatever, but like, I'm just going to be me, you know?
Yep. 100%. And just committing to God, you know, that since then it's like almost immediately he softened my heart. And
oh my gosh, yes.
It was crazy because I just spent time with my family for Thanksgiving. A family member, because they're getting updates, you know, I haven't seen my family in a while. And, you know, so I told them, they were asking me, what's next for you? All the things. So I told them every single thing I'm doing, what I have coming up next year. But then also I kind of threw them a curveball because I said, you know, I would love to be a wife. And in a family where it's mostly like very self-sufficient women, that's really where I get all that from, you know. I'm not trying to put down any men in my family at all, but there's a reason for that, right? But also because a lot of us had a really tough upbringing. So that already is like, we all grew up in masculine energy. Like that's just in my family. So when I said that, it was like you saw the looks on their faces. And, you know, my one family member was like, what's changed? Like, you're softer. Oh my God. That was like the best compliment I could ever get.
Yes.
Huge. Yes. Cause I was like, oh, you see that? You feel that? Yes. And mm-hmm. so that was like an opportunity for me to, you know, kind of explain a little bit about my new committed relationship to God and all the things. And I can tell they weren't necessarily ready to receive that message, but it's okay. And it was funny because after I said it, I knew that maybe they weren't ready to receive it. And I started feeling a little bit of my survival mode kicked in. Like
nervous? Or
not nervous, but more of like, I hope I like, am I weird for saying that? Like, do I look weak? Do I look, you know, like I felt weak saying that in front of these, you know, powerful women in my family. And I felt weak and they just kind of were looking at me, nodding their head. I felt kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, you're speaking a whole new language, right? Saying I actually want a husband to be with. I don't want to just be by myself.
Yeah.
I do need a man.
Yeah.
And it's like a new version of you. So I think it almost feels like, you haven't really, until you get a husband and really understand it at first, it's because it's a dream. It just feels odd still. Right.
Right. Yeah. But also there, and then after I kind of explained it, the question was, well, what do you bring to the table? But it wasn't, my reaction wasn't like offended.
They asked you that?
Yes. Yes, but it's because they're so far into their masculine. I actually immediately, my response was, I kind of felt a little sad. I'm like, wow, you're so deep into your masculine that immediately you're thinking of what are you doing, right? To earn
a man.
A wife. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, I got a lot of work here to do with my family. Like I'm changing. And I think, when it comes to like family and friends, I think a lot of people listening to this can relate. Sometimes you telling them something doesn't work. It's more of showing them, right? Yeah. So me just, I'm like, okay, let me explain, but I'm just going to show them and I'm going to show what's happening and what's changing into my life so they can see what I'm talking about. Yeah. But I just, that was like the, profound like moment for me that I realized, gosh, I'm doing all the right things. I'm on the right path. I'm going through the healing. I'm not perfect. I think none of us are, and we're going to continue to go through the healing. I think a lot of women also think like, oh, once I'm healed, then da 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 da. No. It's a process. And I'm sure you're still working on things with yourself. That's just part of life.
Yeah. I believe that when you decide that you're ready to change, you're healed. God, when everybody that Jesus healed, he says, you are healed, move forward, go forward and be healed. He doesn't say it's going to take you 6 months and then it's going to be a journey and a process. What I believe is the process is just the process of undoing old behaviors. But baby, when you're healed, Kayla, you're healed. Jesus said it and it's done. It's done.
Oh. That is a mic drop right there. That is beautiful. Oh,
it's
my
done.
Gosh.
I think we do ourselves a disservice when we say we're healing. You know why? Because if you're healing, it's a destination. It's a place in the future. So you can never feel the results of being healed. When you declare what Jesus declares that you are healed now, you get to experience the healing. You're just undoing some of the old patterns.
Okay. All right. I'm changing my words. I'm no longer saying I am healing.
Yes.
I am healed.
Healed.
That's beautiful. And that actually just took some weight off my shoulders just hearing that.
All it is you're just undoing old patterns, old ways of being. That's it.
Yeah.
But you are new. God, you are made new again with God, with Jesus, right? So you're changed already. You're born again. You're a different woman. It's just that people haven't caught up with that version of you yet. That's why I love what you said. You said, when she said, well, what do you have to offer or whatever? You're like, what do you mean? I'm amazing. It's like, you're already so far ahead. You already know what God declares for you. And that's such a beautiful place to be in, because people don't need to see it. You need to know it. That's all that matters.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Okay. I could talk to you all day.
I know.
I feel like we've covered so much, and I was like, you're so good. But because of time, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. So two more questions, because the show is called Pain to Power. In your definition, what does pain to power mean to you?
Oh, that's such a good question. It's funny. My podcast show Blooming used to be called Trauma to Triumph, because all my work used to be trauma based. Mm-hmm. And it almost, for me, pain to power means the old you to the real you. That's what that means to me.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Well, I feel like this is not going to be our last time, but we'll chat. Oh yeah. We're going to do more. So good. So last question for everyone listening, where can everyone find you and communicate with you? I'll also put everything in the description as well, but where can they find you?
Yeah, they can find me on Instagram, TikTok, or YouTube, Annabelle.Ingleton. I'll let you spell it out or have it on there, because it's probably too hard to spell. And then I have a podcast show called Blooming. Every Wednesday, we have new episodes, video podcasts on YouTube. And at AnnabelleIngleton.com, you can learn about my coaching programs and some of the free ebooks and small programs that you guys can learn about and use, so that you can get on the process of undoing all this old stuff and be the real woman that you are.
Beautiful. Thank you, Annabelle. I appreciate
you. You're so welcome. So it was so great talking with you, Kayla. You're such a beautiful soul.
Oh, you too. I love you. Okay. Until next time.